When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Original Hockey, participating member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris and today's co-host, Sam.
How's it going, hockey fans?
And you know us, we don't claim to be hockey experts, but simply overzealous hockey fans that love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. So how goes life, Sam?
Life's going all right. You know, just been working, hanging out with some friends on my days off, and getting all sorts of spring weather with, like, we had like a little bit of a heat wave, and then all of a sudden it was raining and pouring yesterday. So just trying to figure that out, and not really been watching hockey on the pro level. Been following the Nationals tournament a little bit, been kind of lost in the March madness of it all, but doing all right. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time of year for a sports fan, like for us. I mean, yeah, the USPHL Nationals are currently happening at the time of this recording, because we're recording this on it's Sunday morning, March 24th. But, you know, also my Aussie Rules football is in full swing. We're in round three. Nice. You've got the March Madness happening. You've got the Frozen Four, like the round of 16 about to happen. There's a lot of hockey. There's a lot of basketball. There's a lot of Aussie rules. I think the spring league for the, the UFL or USFL is about to start. I know you did your, have you done your radio show now?
No, unfortunately we had some, there's been some technical issues at the radio station. So, first show did not happen on the 21st, but Kyle's going to let me know hopefully tomorrow ish if we're going to be starting this Thursday or not.
Okay.
But I'll keep you guys posted for sure.
Yeah, please do, because I was waiting to see any announcement about that. And I forget sometimes now that I'm on this side of the world that we had the same weather patterns, because yeah, yesterday here in Vancouver Island was just nothing but rain and cloud cover and awful looking outside. It was an ugly Saturday, but a great day to sit inside and watch some USPHL Nationals and then eventually the final games of the NCDC Mountain Division season. So I did that. Literally a full day of hockey here from 8 a.m. till midnight, because in order to get this episode recorded, Sam, I basically had to stay up till midnight to make sure I could, because when we decided we record the Sunday morning, I'm like, oh, I don't have any day of prep. I've got to get this stuff done now. So I can't make a top 10 or a top 8 or a top 6 without watching all the games. And so
yeah.
After finishing Nationals and sadly watching Vernal ball in the Nationals after Ontario fell in the Nationals as well, I switched to happier sites and found myself on the Pueblo Bulls Rock Springs game, because I knew it was the last game for both teams this season, as the Pueblo Bulls had been mathematically eliminated, because even if they won that game, they'd missed the playoffs by just 1 point. And they did end up winning the game and missing the playoffs by 1 point. But I like watching those final games of the 0-3s that no longer will be able to see junior ice after this year. And so I gave that game priority and then finished off the night with watching Utah. And Utah's Dryden DeMello blank the Ogden Mustangs in a 3-0 shutout. So huge shout out to Dryden DeMello coming off the island, going right down there to Utah, and in his first ever NCDC start getting a shutout. So that is big news for Dryden, and very stoked for him. And both him and Cooper are doing really awesome after leaving the VIJHL this season and making our lists for the VIJHL, and now down there making waves with the Utah Outliers. And I'm also hoping that the Ogden Mustangs players get get them feeling better. Apparently a bug has been going around that team, affecting the staff and the players. So Ogden wasn't playing at 100% capacity yesterday. They pretty much had a rule, I guess, from the broadcast was if you're still feeling sick, don't even show up for practices. They were trying to minimize the whatever was going around there, because I think they said it also got their marketing director and everything. So
damn.
If you're in Ogden, stay safe right now. you got the playoffs this week. So
how soon does the NCDC playoffs start?
Well, the NCDC playoffs, and listeners that just heard the Nick Dreyer episode, they're the general manager for the Provo Predators. I was able to get some clarification on questions there, but the playoffs for the NCDC start this Friday night. I have to check the dates because I don't ever keep dates up. Friday is the 29th of March, and it's going to be a 5-game series. So the Ogden Mustangs, the number one seed, will be hosting the number four seed, the Idaho Falls Spud Kings, in a 5-game series, with the first two games being in Ogden on Friday and Saturday night. And then it's also on my calendar because I have a calendar where I keep all the games that I can watch and track and have fun with. But then games three and four will be in Idaho Falls. And I want to say it is the, I could just pull up the Idaho Falls Bud Kings, I think, Twitter, right? Was it on Twitter that Idaho Falls? Yeah, it was. So I'll cut this part out real quick. Or I might keep it in. Maybe listeners hear how the bread is buttered.
I did not realize that it's because in the USPHL, right, it was best of three. And
yes,
or I guess, yeah, I think it was
in the hosting. Yeah, the hosting team won it. Yeah, the hosting team had all the games.
But now we got best of five in the NCDC. That's cool. It's a long, it could make for a long series, but that could certainly allow Ogden enough time to get back to full strength.
Yeah. According to Eric Moon there, with the Idaho Falls Bud Kings, it is going to be game one and two in Ogden on the 29th and the 30th. And then game three is April 1st. And then the, if necessary, games are going to be, April 3rd in Idaho Falls and April 5th in Ogden. That is going to be the way that happens. And then the Utah Outliers will be hosting the Provo Predators and basically almost the same format. I think the days are a little bit more off. This is where I'm going to pull up my calendar because I can rule out what is what on my calendar by looking at which games are which. But I know that their game one and two will also be in Utah or Salt Lake City, West Valley, the Accord Center for games one and
Utah
two
versus Utah.
And then it looks like Provo will have, let's see here. So it's going to be, they play Friday and Saturday. So both Friday and Saturdays, games one and two will be Friday and Saturday in these respective series. And then they will have games the third, the fourth, and the sixth, if necessary. So the fourth and the sixth will be the if necessary games, and the third. So the third and the fourth will be in Provo, and then the sixth, if necessary, will be in back in West Valley. And again, if I got those a little bit off, ladies and gentlemen, the games are stretched out between the 29th and the 6th. And I'm excited for it, dude. I want some long series because I like more hockey. And then round two will be the two teams that come out of that. And that will be starting the following Friday and same type of format. So they have so many days to get the series wrapped up. And whoever comes out number one will host the first two games. And, you know, and the lower seed will host games three and four. And then the top seed will host game five. And honestly, dude, I can't call it. I cannot call what I think is going to happen in the series. Or each of these series, obviously Ogden and Utah finished one and two for the last several seasons because they are the top seeds. I mean, Utah's basically been on top for the last several years, and Ogden's always been the trail team. I think Noko trailed one of those years, but it's not shocking to see these two teams where that, but Provo and Idaho Falls are not pushovers, and they're going to be some damn good series. It's really going to be who shows up. That's what it is. All four of these teams are capable of winning each one of these series. So it's going to be who shows up. You give a team an easy game, they're going to bring it to you. So I think I'm not going to make predictions. I'm just going to say that maybe after we finish this kind of the NCDC standouts of the month, I might make a prediction based off of kind of the players that are playing hot right now. So you want to break into the NCDC Mountain Division players in the month?
Yes, that sounds like a great idea.
All right. So it's going to be a little bit more different, listeners, this month, because next season, for season 5. We'll probably be reducing the amount of coverage I give out to the Western USPHL only because I only have so much bandwidth and work and everything is going to interfere with that. So if you're a listener out there and you want more coverage of the USPHL West, especially since we got a couple new teams out there, you know, it's going to be an exciting time to be covering the West out there. So if you're someone that wants to watch all those games or at least one of the divisions of those games, reach out because I will probably not be able to do that coverage next season. Probably still give the goalie some love, but we'll see where that goes. I've got some ideas. Me and Sam were just trying to unpack before the recording. Because again, only have so much bandwidth to cover hockey, but I will be covering, unless something drastically changes, I will be covering the NCDC Mountain Division in full next year, watching all the games, giving the same type of coverage we're giving right now with that little bit of extra detail. And Sam, it's a new format for this episode leading into next year. And I kind of wanted to try it out. So listeners, if it's painful, just deal with it. But I'm going to say, we're going to unpack the 2-4. And so hopefully that draws in some sponsors of 2-4s. We'll see where that goes, but it's going to be a 2-4 because we're going to have 10 forwards in the month, 8 defenders in the month, and 6 goalies in the month. Because, I don't know, man, there's a lot of players that don't get mentioned on these things with our top fives that constantly get left off. And I'll bring up one specific player that kind of drew me to the conclusion that I really needed to kind of change them and modify the format of our awards episodes. And we're going to see how this one rolls, man. Yeah, we're going to start off with the top 10 forwards in a month, Sam.
I just had a quick question. What's let's unpack a 2-4. I've never heard that phrase before.
Might be more Canadian than that, but we used it a lot in Buffalo too. Which is a 2-4 is just a 24 pack of beer.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a 2-4. Yeah.
I'm hoping that
draws in some sponsorship. I'd like to try to unpack the 2-4 and try to get the sponsorship in it. And honestly, the sponsorship would, I mean, if they, we'll talk about that later. I've had some pokes, so I'm going to try to figure out to see what's going to be actually feasible moving forward. Cause I have some interested parties, but, I want to do the right sponsorship for our podcast. So we're going to, like I said, with the 10, the 8 and the 6, that's a 2-4. So we're going to unpack the 2-4 and, Sam, who are the top 10 NCDC Mountain Division forwards in the month for March?
All right, we're going to start at number 10 in Ogden from the Mustangs, the 05 out of Toronto, Ontario. Corson McGuire put up two points, both assists in 6 games played.
Yeah, he's not the flashiest player, but he plays both ends of the ice consistently well. He's just got a great two-way game.
Excellent. At number 9 from the Rock Springs Grizzlies, the 04 from Hendersonville, Tennessee, Garrett Parker put up 4 points, 1 goal, 3 assists in 9 games played.
Yeah, again, not the flashiest player or the biggest point producer, but he plays a very calculated game.
At number 8 from the Utah Outliers, the 04 from, oh man, I remember seeing this town before.
Coquitlam.
And I don't know. Coquitlam?
Coquitlam.
Coquitlam, yeah. British Columbia, Bailey Iwanis put up 2 points, yeah. 1 goal, 1 assist in 6 games played.
Yeah, sorry, I almost cut you off there. Yeah, Iwanis had a great month. And again, maybe not in the biggest point production thing, but he's a big body forward who's a strong skater with a high hockey IQ.
All right. At number 7 from the Rock Springs Grizzlies, the 05 from Maryville, Illinois, Peyton Smith put up 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists in 9 games played.
Yeah, he's not afraid to throw the body around, and he's persistent. He's got an excellent forecheck, just an overall great player.
All right, at number 6 from the Rock Springs Grizzlies, the 04 from Oakdale, Minnesota, Charlie Ashton, who had 1 assist in 9 games played.
Yeah, he's a player that can get lost when making these sorts of lists because he's not a high point producer again, but he's hard to lose on the ice because he's 6'3" and he makes the right decisions on the ice. He does the little things right.
It'd be pretty hard to lose somebody 6'3" on the ice. But anywho, moving on to number 5 from the Provo Predators, the 04 from Bratislava, Slovakia, Jakub Šulík put up 3 points, 2 goals, 1 assist in 8 games played.
He didn't get on the score sheet a ton, but he makes the smart plays. He kind of got that, I don't know how to say it, but that Euro-style game. He's got a pretty damn good game.
At number 4 from the Pueblo Bulls, the 03 from Desjardins.
Yeah, yes. I want to say Desjardins. I know the Quebecers at this point are going to hate me for it. I got to learn how to say French a little bit better. I'm working on it.
I took Spanish in high school. I'm not gonna pretend as if I'm going to get any of these French cities right. From Quebec, Thomas Soucy put up 5 points, including 2 goals, 3 assists in 6 games played and 0 penalty minutes.
Yeah, 0 penalty minutes, but he's also kind of currently like Mr. Bowl. I don't know what else we can say about Thomas Soucy. He's been on the podcast a few times now, or he's been talked about on the podcast a few times now. He had an amazing opportunity on a breakaway one last night, because again, we're recording this on March 24th. And he'll be tough for Bulls fans to see him go as he aged out this year.
Congratulations to all the players who have aged out, of course, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Number three from the Idaho Falls Spud Kings, the 05 from Chesterfield, Michigan. Owen Pitters put up 4 points, 3 goals, 1 assist in 4 games played and 0 penalty minutes.
Yeah, he's been a great addition to the Spud Kings lineup the second half of the season, and he just has a nose for the puck and mitts the match.
Been a common name to see in these top 10 lists, it feels like.
Yes.
At number two from the Pueblo Bulls, the 04 from Lodi, California, who was last month's forward of the month, Hunter Hayes put up 12 points, 5 goals, 7 assists in 6 games played.
Yeah, speaking of someone who's constantly talked about on a podcast as well, he had that Hattie this final weekend and just another player with a nose for the puck and a real quick release.
So absolutely not shocking to see him, especially with that fantastic.
Oh, and speaking of fact, because he's from Lodi, before we go into number one.
Okay.
Now that we've talked about his hometown on here, because you mentioned that you were familiar with his hometown as you were, what was it, Stockton?
Yeah, I was right nearby in Stockton.
Yeah, and I started realizing it, you know, because I kind of love my wine, that Lodi is a big producer of wine, because I started noticing Lodi on the shelves here in British Columbia. And I'm like, never paid attention to it before. But that fun little fact about, so I like wine.
Small world sometimes, right?
Yeah, it is. And the second I started realizing, I'm like, damn, I'm seeing Lodi everywhere. I've never heard of the city before. I didn't even pronounce it right the first time I said it, and yet here I am. I realized I had wine, I became very interested.
It's not quite Napa, I'm imagining, but if they're producing that much wine, they must be good at it.
They must be, and yeah, I don't. It's hard to compete with Napa. Napa, like I had a Napa wine a couple weeks ago. My God, there's a reason it's Napa. It was good, but yeah, moving on.
Moving on. But Chris, tell our listeners who is the Pigeonhole Hockey NCDC After Dark Forward of the Month for March.
That's going to be Hunter's teammate, the 04 from Northbrook, Illinois, Eddie Pliason. 2 goals, 5 assists, and 6 games played. He has an excellent bat check and no give up in his game. I mean, he really started to stand out for me back in January. When did he add it to the Bulls roster? I want to say, I feel like he's been there all season. Now I have to look it up, ladies and gentlemen. But if he's there all season, I don't know if I noticed him as much. But I started seeing some of the things he was doing in January, and I'm like, damn, this kid can play. And I don't know what suddenly happened with elite prospects, but I'm going to give up on that. I'm going to assume Eddie's been there all season. I'm not 100% sure.
I can help you out. Again, how the butter is made, or whatever you said earlier.
Lane and Jim, just how the butter gets breaded. The bread gets buttered. Oh, damn.
Yeah, there it is. This is how the biscuit ends up in the basket.
There it is.
He has been on the team. I'm on the NCDC website. He has been with the team the whole season. It seems like he's been a relatively consistent scorer, but he certainly popped off starting in like late November. That's a name that I honestly would not have gotten the pronunciation either. So I think that either way, Eddie has been one hell of a player lately.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I noticed earlier, but again, it was a pretty rough time with our move out of Copenhagen this winter. So I wasn't watching full games up until literally like late January, early February. I think February, I definitely watched, I think, all the games fully. Maybe he was doing all the same stuff and I just wasn't seeing it because I was only watching the third periods. But we kind of settled in here in BC. So I got a lot more time to actually truly invest in watching a games and appreciating players playing a full 60. Cause I try to pay attention to that. It's a nice seeing the NCDC Mountain Division is a lot of these players are playing a full 60, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially at that tier two level, trying to get noticed by whatever's the next step for these guys.
Yeah. NCAA Division I or tier one, who, you know, whatever they're looking for next. I mean, it's that's kind of, but again, there's also amazing ACHA D1 programs and NCAA Division III, or those that choose not to continue on to play hockey. Who knows? But because there are Division II players that are not Division II players, but Tier II players that once their time's done, they just move on. And there's nothing wrong with that too. There's a lot of awesome opportunities once hockey has wrapped. But yeah, man, let's talk some defense.
Absolutely. On the blue line, who are the NCDC Mountain Division top 8 defenders of the month for March, Chris?
Well, that's going to be, as I said, now we're doing an 8 for defenders, and it's at number 8 is going to be the 04 from the Utah Outliers. And this is where you would know how to pronounce it, but I think it's Rancho Palos Verdes, California.
Sure. That sounds like a town.
Yeah, Rancho Palos Verdes, but it's a Jean-Sebastien Pack or JS Pack. He had 2 assists this month in 6 games played, but he closes the gap moving backwards real well, which obviously does really good at removing offensive opportunities. He's been very noticeable. Again, he's been, I think, with the Outliers, if I'm not incorrect, all season. But yeah, he's had a great month this month. And this is, you know, I like expanding this list because we get to mention a few more players that might not otherwise have just made a top 5 list. But yeah, so JS Pack at number 8. At number 7, it's going to be the 03 from Salt Lake City with the Rock Springs Grizzlies, Alex Lewis. He had an assist in 9 games played. He's a big D-man, another one that closes the gap real well and relieves that pressure. At number 6, it's going to be the 03 from the Provo Predators from Hermantown, Minnesota, Jackson Lucia. He had 1 goal and 7 assists in 7 games played. And as you just heard with the previous podcast with Nick Dreyer, as well as honestly the podcast with Ryan Henry, the goalie for the Provo Predators, he's kind of a locker room guy, man. He's a leader on the team. But beyond that, I mean, on the ice, he's a mobile player. He's a strong skater. He does really good at breaking up the attacks. He seems to be more of a locker room guy that, you know, really gets noticed there by his teammates. So that's always something that I think college universities should be looking for. Then at number 5, it's going to be the 03 from the Idaho Falls from Bergen, Norway, Tobias Amholt. He didn't have any points this month in 6 games played, but he also didn't have any penalty minutes. So we appreciate a guy that doesn't put himself in the box. He's a strong skater with a great 2-way game, and he can also help lead an attack. At number 4, it's going to be another Rock Springs Grizzlies, an 05 from North Vancouver, British Columbia, Luke Bradley. I will say on this note before I start with his 1 goal and 1 assist in 9 games played, I was editing these notes late last night, Sam, as you may have saw my messages finishing up games. And with a few of these players, particularly Bradley, I don't know what happened to my notes. So I had to think this morning. I'm like, what were the key? Because I keep notes on the players all month long, which is how I create the lists. And in previous episodes, I just generally didn't read a lot of them. Listeners that heard it last year would hear all the notes. But Luke Bradley's was one where I'm like, I was really impressed with what I'd written. And then I deleted it in the transfer to the document. It irritated the hell out of me because I'm like, damn it. So I just had to think off the cuff. I'm like thinking about his game. It's because you get older and forget stuff.
Control Z, undo that.
Oh, I would have added Control Z, unz a lot of things for that. Because I was pretty deep into my preparation for this podcast, and I was like, damn it. But what I could think of this morning when he was not the only player I did that with. But I remember he was just persistent. There's no give up in his game. He moves the puck well. If I'm not incorrect, he had a bit of a scuffle last night. Maybe it wasn't Luke, but I'm pretty confident Luke was one of the players involved in the scuffle last night. But he just has a very confident game. He slows it down. He doesn't panic under those situations where you might see that extra panic in Tier 3. You won't see that out of his game in Tier 2. But yeah, then at number 3, it's going to be the 04 from Wheaton, Illinois, Nate Farrell. He's been mentioned on his podcast before, but he had 3 assists this month in 6 games played. Again, he stayed out of the box, so no penalty minutes. And he's also been a previous defender of the month for this podcast, and he has a super high hockey IQ. I really like his game. He plays a very smart game. At number 2, the 04 from Rosemount, Minnesota, Owen Hendrickson from the Ogden Mustangs. He had 5 assists in 8 games played. Again, another one of those guys who's been a previous defender of the month on this episode or this podcast. And he's a strong skater that can move the puck. So really like his game.
I was like, why did Luke's name sound familiar? Did we mention that he made the jump from the VIJHL?
I don't know if I ever mentioned him on a VIJHL episode because I don't know if I was aware of him in the VIJHL.
I mean,
did he come out of the V?
Yeah, he came from the Nanaimo Buccaneers.
Oh, damn. When did he leave? I have to look back in my notes. I don't recall.
Last night
I
thought was literally his first
all season, though.
Last night was his first game with them.
Hold up. There's no way because I've had his notes on him every month. Luke Bradley. What is wrong with.
Wait, did you say Luke Bradley?
Yeah, Luke Bradley.
Oh, I got the wrong person. Yeah. I said Luke Jimenez. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. No. Luke Jimenez. Yeah. He's the kid from Chicago, right? That's playing with Nanaimo.
Well, now he's on Rock Springs.
Oh, okay. I definitely recognized. Like, sometimes these names, I think I will see him, but that makes sense. He's a great.
It didn't help that there were two Lukes right next to each other on the NCDC roster. Whatever.
I'm going to keep all this in here too, because it also shows like the fact that Luke Jimenez is in there. I think my brain probably didn't pick up on the fact that he was playing in Rock Springs at this point, but he was always noticeable with Nanaimo. And again, he's Luke Jimenez, just, you know, not that he's going to be one of our top defenders of the month, as he's only probably gotten a game or two in there with Luke, with Rock Springs. He was never a big point producer in Nanaimo, and Nanaimo had a awful, awful season. But Jimenez's game was always really noticeable. So I'm not shocked at all he got picked up by Rock Springs. And again, I think this is where players need to hear this. You might not be a big point producer, and you might be on a really bad team. And again, no offense to Nanaimo, but it was an awful season. I think they had a win. They were like 1-41. It was terrible. But here he is playing Tier 2 hockey now. If it is, in fact, Luke Jimenez, right?
Yes.
Damn, look at that. Congratulations, Luke. But apologize. But yeah, back to Luke Bradley. Well, it's good there. It's good to catch me in my crushes. I'm like, there's no way in hell I've had Bradley tracked. I'm like, Bradley, I think, has been with Rock Springs all year, if I'm not incorrect.
Clearly, I got enough sleep last night. Stop asking.
Well, I looked at Luke Bradley. I mean, he's from North Vancouver, so he could have played on the island. Okay, now I got to look it up. I don't know what's happening with Lee prospects, but I'm going to type in Luke Bradley anyways, because what league did he play in before he came to – oh, I don't know. They've done something with the website today.
It's working on my end, so – why? I can you just tell me what to look up, and I'll look it up.
Oh wait, I think I oh no, it's acting super weird. I'm gonna give one more chance here. Luke Bradley, yeah, he's an 05 Rock Springs. I'm pretty sure he's been there all season.
Luke Bradley has been with Rock Springs all of this season. Last year he was with the PIJHL.
Okay, I don't know what that is. they're just like the VIJHL, but they're mainland British Columbia. They have the KIJHL and the PIJHL on mainland. They all compete in this. I think the champions of each league compete in a cup too. Like they declare, what is it? The Mass. Oh, I think of the name of the cup. Now I'm on a podcast. I'm not going to be able to remember something I actually watch. Anyways, there's so many cup names. Then I start thinking like the Dineen Cup, because the Dineen Cup is what we're talking about, because we're talking NCDC. So, but yeah, that's we wrapped up at number two, right?
Yes. So, Chris, who is the Pigeonhole Hockey Podcast NCDC After Dark Defender of the Month for March?
That's going to be the 04 from Fargo, North Dakota, from the Pueblo Bulls, Will Hoffer. He had one assist in six games played. He's an excellent puck moving defenseman. And he's just the type of, and he, actually, he's the type of player as to why I extended this list to a 2-4. He's the player. Because when I compiled all my notes for this thing, I'm like, oh, I can't have Hoffer win again. That would just seem like, I've never had Hoffer on the list. I don't think he's been mentioned on our top fives all year, but he's been so routinely, kind of like when we switched to VIJHL, speaking of the VIJHL's episode, from a top five to a top 10. And there was players that I was extremely familiar with because they were always in the top of my list, but they wouldn't crack a top five. Hoffer was that guy for me on the top tens, or at least in this case, a top eight, because I was convinced he had not only been mentioned on a previous episode, but he had won a previous. And I guess maybe those Bulls defensemen all just kind of merge into one at this point, you know, one cohesive unit. But I was shocked when I realized that, because I have my end of year point system for the annual awards. And I was shocked that I was like, where the hell is Hoffer? And I was shocked that he hasn't. I don't think we've had him on the mentioned on the podcast before, which, you know, almost kind of embarrassing he hasn't been mentioned before, because he's been a standout defender for Pueblo this season. So yeah, he's kind of the reason for the 2-4. So congratulations, Hoffer. But yeah, man.
I feel like that's a preview of the final, because like there is going to be one more episode, awards episode, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah, there's going to be the annual awards episode.
Okay, so now I have like an inkling that he should. I'm guessing he might be in the top 10 for the year.
He might. I'd have to look back at my scoring. I wouldn't guarantee that at the moment, but he might just be missing out on it. I'm not 100%. I'd have to go back and look at my scoring, but I do actually have a scoring system. So people are going to hear names of players that have been traded out of the NCDC West. So it happens, but you can't have a player like, I won't say their names, but you know, it gives it away for the awards episode, but there's been players that have been gone for the last couple months that have gone off to play in other leagues like the NAL or the NCDC other divisions or the BCHL. And they're going to be mentioned because I can't just bypass them because they're not here at the end, because you're going to have players that started somewhere else and came to the NCDC West that are going to get mentioned. So, you know, because there are players that are 100% going to get mentioned, and they've only played a handful of games in the NCDC West, but they were in another NCDC team throughout the year. So I had to modify different things, and I think it'll be a pretty fun awards episode for the end of the year, man. But let's talk about the best position in all of sports, the goalies. Sam, who are the top 6 goalies of the month to complete that 2-4 pack for the Pigeon Hockey Podcast for March?
All right. We're going to start at number 6 from the Rock Springs Grizzlies, the 0-4 out of L.A., California, Nicholas Charles.
Yeah, Nico Charles, man, he just had one of the wickedest saves. You guys can see it on our Instagram of the season here in the NCDC West. It was a beauty. And there's been amazing saves all season long, but unfortunately I wasn't really tracking a lot of them. Hopefully that's something that listeners will be able to see a little bit more as I get better with that stuff and maybe get some better material that I can actually post those things out there. But Nico Charles had a great month on top of that great save, with a stopping 104 of 113 shots faced for a 920 in 3 games played and an assist. And again, he's one of those goalies, man, fluid movement, solid tee pushes, great tracking. I could probably say that for most of these goalies coming up, that's how they make the list, you know.
Exactly. But meanwhile, at number 5 from the Ogden Mustangs, the 0-4 from Minsk, Belarus, Nikita Volsky.
Yeah, Nikita Volsky stopped 106 of 115 for a 922 this month and 3 games played in a 2-1 record.
We're going to stick in Ogden at number 4, his goalie mate, the 0-3 from Cary, North Carolina, Tade Carman.
Yeah, Tade Carman had a great month with Ogden. And yeah, he's a newer addition to the Ogden Mustangs. I literally think he's only had a handful of games. If the broadcast was right the other night, I think that was only his 5th game with the Ogden Mustangs. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But he stopped 154, 166 for a 928 in 4 games played with a 2-2 record. But he's been in the NCDC all year. He just hasn't been with Ogden. So he's been a pretty standout player. But yeah, Tade Carman, number 4.
Yeah, he's had 6 games with Ogden, 4-2 record with a 2.47 goals against. Very solid so far.
Yeah, he's been incredible. He's going to help shore up that net there with between him and Volsky heading into the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, Ogden sitting at that number 1 seed, still looking to get healthy, but that having a good goalie tandem is a good way to make some damage in the playoffs.
Absolutely, you need it.
But moving on to number 3 from the Pueblo Bulls, the 0-4 from Hanover, Minnesota, Bo Altman.
Yeah, Bo Altman had a great month, stopping 202 of 216 for a 935 and 5 games played and a shutout and a 3-2 record. It's disappointing that their season ended. Bo had a great season. I mean, he had a great month for Pueblo. He gave them all the opportunity they could to make that run. And again, the team only missed the playoffs by a point. So it's heartbreaking, but I'm a Buffalo Sabres fan, so I know what missing the playoffs by a point feels like.
Sounds familiar. But Bo has been a mainstay on the list, I feel like, all season. Just like the guy coming up in number 2 from the Provo Predators, the 0-4 from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, Michael Polston.
Yeah, Mike had a great month, stopping 189 to 202 for a 9-3-6 and six games played, and a shutout and a 3-2-0-1 record. He's just been a staple back there for Provo, and he's going to be one of the reasons that you know, they're going to be in strong competition between him and Henry, as the kind of the 1-2 punch right there with the Provo Predators heading into that 3 seed against the number 2 Utah Outliers. The Outliers cannot overlook the Predators, or the Predators will make them pay, that's for sure. So I'm excited for these playoffs, man.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. But in the meantime, Chris, who is the Pigeonhole Hockey NCDC After Dark Goalie of the Month for March?
Yeah, the Goalie of the Month for March is going to be a repeat, which I don't know if in the NCDC's goaltending positions we've had a repeat all year. But not only is it a repeat, it's back-to-back. And that's going to be Tucker Inabine, the 0-3 from the Idaho False Bud Kings out of Phoenix, Arizona. Stopped. Are you ready for it, Sam? 182 of 191 for a 9-5-3 in six games played with a 2-2-0-2 record. I'm telling you what, right now, the reason I can't make predictions for this season's playoffs is, yeah, Idaho Falls has struggled, and they just made the playoffs by a point. But you look at the way Inabine's playing in net, this man is on a mission. These last 2 months, his save percentage has been off the charts. He has been on fire, and what you need moving into the playoffs is a goalie on fire. And you see the way that Inabine and Polston have been playing. If you're Utah or you're Ogden, you're taking note, because these goalies have been towards the top of the list the last couple months, and you got to beat them. If you're going to advance, you got to beat these guys. As listeners might have heard the episode with Nick Dreyer, the fact that Michael Polston started the season with the Idaho Falls Bud Kings, and then they had such a chunk of goalies in there that they shipped him out to Provo. And like Nick said, Polston just kind of fell into their lap before the season started. And he has just been a stunner all season long. I mean, he's just been crushing it. And, you know, the confidence of those goalies also having those solid backups is important. Like Polston, Henry there, I mean, that's a 1A, 1B situation. That's easy. When you've got the Carmen, Volsky situation, you're talking a 1A, 1B there. When you're looking at right now, Rendina, and I'm going to say DeMello, because DeMello just had a wicked game, but they got Sam Straffa. Sam Straffa is still there. You're talking a 1-2-3 punch right there in that. These teams aren't heading in with bad situations. And Inabine usually has Pechenin back there and Carter. And so these are going to be the teams that compete for that first ever NCDC Mountain Division Championship. And, man, I tell you what, the reason it's all on my calendar is me and my wife talk. She's like, if there's ever games that are so important to you that you need, I'm like, then just put them on a calendar. I'm like, okay. So I started putting them all on a calendar. So I did that with the end of the NFL season.
She gave you a small opening and you were like, yes.
Well, okay. It happened over a playoff or Buffalo. I think the Buffalo Bills were playing in a Saturday night game or something, whatever it was. And she had set up plans with somebody and we were going to be meeting up. I'm like, no way in hell. I said, the Bills game. She's like, you're kidding me, right? I'm like, no, reschedule it. The Bills game. I'm not missing the Bills game for a dinner. So then she told me, just put things on a calendar then. So I have been, and we have a shared calendar that I put things on, and all these NCDC Mountain Division games are on there. Much like the USPHL Nationals that are happening right now, I've blocked it all off. It's like, I'm not doing anything else at this time. These are important to me. Moments. Yes, I schedule in my NCDC Mountain Division hockey guys. That is a real thing when you do when you get married.
He is dedicated, folks. I mean, yeah, from the sound of it, I mean, it just sounds like every team is looking at a good goalie situation. But, man, if you're going to knock off Idaho Falls, you got to somehow find a way past the guy who's been just on ridiculous amounts of fire, both in February and March.
Yeah, because he's 9-5-3 this month. And I want to say last month he was 9-6 something. I'm going to scroll down through my notes.
That sounds familiar because, I mean, just looking at his numbers game by game for the month of, for both months, he only had only two times was it under 900. Like, and really most of the times it was like way above 900. So
that's absolutely insane. And I mean, that's what you need leading into the playoffs. And I'm going to click up here. And save percentage last month was 961. He stopped 249 to 259. I mean, And then you look at Michael Polston, he was a 919 last month. So, yeah, I mean, dude, there's so much solid net mining right now in the, and that's why it's heartbreaking to see teams like Pueblo and Rock Springs bounce. Well, Rock Springs had, they were out a while ago. They started off real rough, but they were a team you didn't want to face at the end of the last month or two. They came on strong. They finally kind of built that core around there, which is why I think you also had so many Grizzlies on this month's players standouts of the month, because they kind of finally found their identity, and that's going to be excellent moving into next season.
Yeah, absolutely.
But did we want to talk any playoff stuff? So that's what I said. I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm going to be wrong.
For which league?
Yeah.
Or for NCDC?
Yeah, for NCDC. We're on the NCDC episode. I'm not going to try to make a prediction with the USPHL.
I'll do it because I haven't been watching. I've been following the box scores a lot. I watched a little bit back when I had Flow Hockey, but I just think, oh man, I mean, I think Ogden, if they get healthy, then yes, I do think they find a way to knock off Idaho Falls, but I think that series goes five. And then I think Provo is going to find a way to upset Utah. I'm going to predict that.
Ooh, wow. There it is. Prediction coming from Sam. Provo will be heading to Ogden in round, I guess it would be round two. I mean, I guess I should make a prediction.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Oh, no, I want to. I mean, that's the whole reason we have a podcast. So, you know, I can get roasted and people, I've heard people use it for fuel. So, you know, but I will say I'm going to back up the fact that I think it's going to be, no, I really think it's going to be an upset type of weekend. I love my Ogden Mustangs. They're kind of my ride or die team. They what got me into junior hockey, but I think Idaho Falls is goaltending right now. Barring something happening to Inabine, like I said, Pechenin and Carter are solid goalies, but if Inabine goes down, so does Idaho Falls season. I mean, I could be wrong. Those goalie stories happen all the time. Look at Aiden Hill, right? Who would have saw that coming outside of Aiden Hill?
Exactly.
So Inabine has basically carried this team. And I can't even say like when Pechenin's got his starts, he's got no goal support. He's had incredible games when he's played, or at least the most recent game I watched where they couldn't score to save their lives. There's nothing much else Pechenin could have done. Hopefully I'm wrong. Sorry, Idaho Falls Bud Kings fans. So sorry to Ogden. I think Idaho Falls kind of comes out of the series. And I'm with you on the upset over Utah. Of course, Utah's made me look dumb every year before, so why not do it in another season?
That's a risk on your part then.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, I mean, Rendina and DeMello are solid goalies. And Rendina started off the year really, really strong. And I think he got injured or something, or just kind of like every goalie does has a lull, but he's come back on strong the last couple weeks. And with the way DeMello just played, and obviously the way Sam Straff played, he earned one of our shout outs in the month last month. It's hard to see again, but I'm looking at the way Michael Polson's playing. And I just feel like if he can get the goal support, Provo could take down Utah. But if Provo can't score, because that's going to be a challenge, I mean, amazing net miners in Utah, then, I just think that I think Provo could take down Utah if they can get the goal support, if Polson can get that goal support, because I think Polson's just on fire right now. So yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Watch Ogden and Utah come out of the series and people start direct messaging me again, telling me I'm an idiot. So,
And me too, if you want to throw some of the heat off of you. But I was just going to say,
but they're all great teams. So
yeah, I think that the real challenge for specifically in the Idaho Falls series is, like, you know, just looking at the differences between the two offenses. Like Idaho Falls, yes, they've definitely got some talented forwards and defensemen in terms of scoring, but they scored 45 less goals during the regular season than Ogden. And I think that Ogden just has a little bit too much offense with, like, Osborne and Cherniak and Conradson and some of these other guys that I'm blanking on the names. But I just think that they have too much offense to to not win that series, you know?
Yeah, they got a lot of solid forwards back there. I mean, like guys like Cooper Fink don't put up a lot of points, but he's noticeable on the ice. I mean, he's a solid player. I don't think he's been brought up on our podcasts very often, but Cooper Fink's a solid player. You got guys like Brody Simcoe, you know, Voyatsis. I mean, how can you forget the captain? There's so much firepower on that team. But again, I think, again, if they can recover from what they've got right now, which I don't think should be a problem in the next week, you know, that gives them that extra rest, but they also need that extra practice time to come into a series against Idaho Falls, because Idaho Falls, you know, they had their coaching change that changed the way they played. They acquired some new pieces. Like Owen Pitters has just been, like I said, from the second half of the season, that when he joined the organization, he's just been, and I think he was hurt for a few weeks and he came back on fire, but he's on fire before he got hurt. Again, I'm assuming they got hurt. Nothing ever comes out about this stuff. Things happen in people's lives. They have to go away for a week or two sometimes. So, but I'm assuming it was injury. And so I don't know. They've got a lot of firepower there too. I mean, the big thing is they did losing Mitrovic to Utah. That exposes a little bit more of the defensive game from them, but they've got some great defenders beyond that already. But I think that's why maybe Tucker sees a few more shots. Utah's defensive core and Ogden's defensive core are really damn strong. So you got to find a way to score on these teams to beat them. And that's the first step in that, is getting past their defenses, because they don't allow a lot of, when Utah and Ogden play their game, they are really hard to beat. And it's just more fun to call the upsets. I want to shake things up. And like you said, in terms of how many games, I think it would take, I think Idaho Falls will take it in five, or you're thinking Ogden will take it in five. And did you give an amount of games you think for Utah?
No, I did not. I'll say Provo in four.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that too. I think Provo would take them down in four. I think, I'm right about 60% of the time with these predictions. So,
and I think both these series are so 50-50. Like
it really is who shows up. It's going to be one of those who shows up series. Use this for fuel, use this for fire, use this for motivation, whatever you want to do. I almost started quoting Metallica there, but I think you heard it coming, didn't you?
I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's just going to be who shows up each game. If you lay down one of these games, you lay an egg. Good luck. The other team's going to expose you. You can't.
Or make sure to bounce back, you know?
Yeah. And as, like I said, all six teams at the end of the season were really strong. It was a who's going to show up end of season. Like I said, Rock Springs was already done from the beginning of their season, but there was no guaranteed win facing Rock Springs in February, March. That just wasn't happening. And they took down a lot of teams and caused some, let's say, ruffling of feathers towards the end of the season, because they were no longer the team you could get a guaranteed win against. And again, that was all due to the changes they made, and they really improved at the end of the year. So I'm excited to see them next season. And Pueblo missed out by a point. So there was no layover team that would just give you a game. Because you talk about defensive course for Pueblo, like, dear God in heaven, they're scoring course. I mean, they have Hunter Hayes. I think he tied for the lead with your boy there on your fantasy team, Parker Osborne, with the Ogden Mustangs. I think they tied for the scoring lead for the NCDC. Wow. So they had firepower, they had defense, they had goaltending. But honestly, these teams are so close. Them missing out by a point. And again, I asterisk Rock Springs because the beginning of the season was theirs. But you talk, wait, these six teams competed at the end of the year. Man, there's no guaranteed wins in this division. This is great hockey. This is fun hockey. And I'm so excited for the playoffs that it's blocked off on my calendar.
Very exciting. I'm looking forward to following along with it. But I think we could wrap it up here if that sounds good.
Yeah, we could. And I hope you guys like this kind of new format of what these episodes will sound like next year. And potentially that option for maybe having an NCDC Mountain Division weekly. That's one of the considerations. So not only will they just get the monthly shout outs, but kind of go over some of the game action and talk about moves and acquisitions and ups and downs, because teams are going to go through streaks where they're amazing and they're going to go through streaks where they suck. And we're going to, I think, having a weekly conversation about it. I love following the NCDC Mountain Division, so I'm going to be covering that next year. Again, barring anything going crazy. You never know how things change in off seasons. So as everything stands right now, I'm going to be very excited to see where this division goes in the coming year. And probably start those episodes sooner than later, especially as players start committing and signing and start talking rumors and moves and everything. I think I'm excited to cover the NCDC Mountain Division kind of more frequently and better and kind of hone my hockey focus into kind of one little bubble and maybe get a 2-4 sponsorship out of it. But you're right, Sam. This is probably a great place to wrap this up. So we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This is the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris and Sam.
Thanks for listening, hockey fans.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.